Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
This is the Premier League Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, between 1 and 2 o'clock. Coming up over the next hour, we'll be looking back at last night's action at the London Stadium. How much longer can Manuel Pellegrini hold on at the Hammers as West Ham are beaten 3-1 by a pretty lacklustre Arsenal side? We'll also be looking ahead to the Champions League action to come tonight. Liverpool are in action over in Austria against Salzburg. Chelsea are at home against Lille. Both sides looking to seal qualification for the Champions League last 16. We'll be looking around some of the other top stories in the Premier League, as well as looking ahead to all of the Champions League fixtures coming up tonight. If you want to get in touch with us, call us on 0208 7025. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. This is the Premier League Fan Show here on Love Sport. So plenty to come over the next hour. That number again, 0208 7020 558, if you want to get in touch with us this afternoon. We've also got some big news here from Love Sport. From Monday, we will be going national, so you'll be able to listen to Love Sport across the UK on national digital radio. So up and down the country, doesn't matter where you live. And we obviously the Premier League Fan Show between 1 and 2, Championship Fan Show between 2 and 3. We look to cover all of the 44 clubs across the two divisions. So now you can listen live across the UK on digital radio from Monday. So we obviously try to cover as much as possible, covering as many clubs as we can and trying to get as many different voices from many different clubs. And from Monday, the great news for all of you out there is that you'll be able to listen to us on digital radio. We are going national on Monday. So a good moment for us, and obviously good for you all out there, hopefully, that are listening around the country that will be able to listen to us on digital radio from Monday. So some big news here from Love Sport. Let's get back to the football then. Looking back at last night's game in the Premier League, it was the final game of the Premier League weekend, and there was certainly going to be drama. There were going to be headlines from it. And for West Ham fans, unfortunately for them, the headlines are all coming out of the Hammers end rather than the Arsenal point of view. It ended West Ham 1, Arsenal 3. West Ham were 1-0 up on the hour mark, but then a 3-goal blitz in 9 minutes, which saw Nicola Pepe score his first goal from open play this season after a £72 million move from Lille over the summer. Also goals from Martinelli and Aubameyang sealed all 3 points for Arsenal. They weren't particularly good, but what or where does this leave Manuel Pellegrini? The pressure ramping up on him, West Ham fans calling for his head, and certainly doesn't have much longer to last. Looking at the odds at the moment, Rafa Benitez is favourite, although he did say on the Monday Night Football yesterday that he was not going to be taking a Premier League job now. Maybe in a year's time he would do so, but at this moment in time he had no interest in doing so, yet he's the favourite simply because he was in the studios in Sky Sports in England. Eddie Howe, David Moyes and Chris Hughton are all high up the shortlist according to the latest odds, and I'm not sure whether getting rid of Pellegrini solves all of West Ham's issues. Maybe in the short term it does, but in the long term there are much bigger problems, and that's the case with all of these clubs that are sacking their managers. You look at the side that West Ham faced last night, Arsenal, who are still on the lookout for a new manager. Freddie Ljungberg obviously is in interim charge. It isn't just as simple as changing a manager and your fortunes being completely turned around. There are a lot of other bigger issues that need to be sorted from top to bottom. We've spoken to Harry Simi from the Chronicles of Aguna podcast about how it's from the board down that there are mistakes constantly being made. In some ways, it doesn't matter who is at the helm. if you've got all those problems at a board level, then the person below that is never going to operate at full efficiency level. So even if West Ham get rid of Manuel Pellegrini, and even if to begin with there is a bounce that usually you get with managers, it isn't going to suddenly turn completely around for West Ham. They're not suddenly going to become the club that they want to be overnight, making a change in management. There have to be serious discussions that take place at West Ham and bigger debates that need to be had at board level if they want to turn things around. Yes, you might get someone that's going to take West Ham to 10th by the end of the season, but long term, that's not going to solve major issues that are at that club. West Ham are not alone. There are a number of clubs in the same position. But there are big issues, and Manuel Pellegrini is facing the sack. It feels like Saturday's game against Southampton is make or break for Manuel Pellegrini, but it doesn't quite feel like just sacking him is going to change all that's wrong with West Ham at the moment. So Pellegrini could be, or we would expect probably, will be the next manager to lose his job over the next few days. Maybe not today, but it may hinge upon West Ham's result away at Southampton on the weekend. Maybe not the worst thing in the world for West Ham to be away from home, not at home against Southampton on the weekend. Looking at some of the other stories, of course, another couple of managerial stories. Everton obviously are in the market for a new manager. Duncan Ferguson won his first game in interim charge at the weekend against Chelsea. They want to appoint Shanghai SIPG manager Vitor Pereira as their new manager before the game on the weekend against Manchester United. Now he's on £19 million over in China. The Chinese club are willing to offer him £25 million a year, to keep him as their manager. It's ludicrous amounts of money. We talk about players earning far too much. Well, managers are also getting paid far too much money. But he seems to be their man that they want. If they can't get him over the line, they might look at Carlo Ancelotti. Now, he is facing an uncertain future at Napoli. According to reports in Italy, Gennaro Gattuso is likely to take over if tonight doesn't go well for Napoli. They're in action against Genk in the Champions League. If they fail to qualify for the knockout stages, which you'd imagine at home to Genk, they should win, which would secure qualification for the Italian side, then Gennaro Gattuso could come in at Napoli, which could mean Everton might go for Ancelotti. But in my view, Ancelotti's a much better manager than at Everton's level. He's bigger than that. So I think that'd be massively punching above their weight. Marcelino, a manager, if you're keen on your Spanish football, you will know that obviously he's been manager of Villarreal and Valencia over the last 6 years. He was sacked by Valencia in September, has a fairly decent record of perhaps punching a bit over his weight, getting sized to positions where realistically maybe they might not be good enough to do so. He's been in London apparently for talks with Arsenal. Now it is unsure. You look at the odds, Marcelino's way down on the shortlist, but there are rumours starting to build that he could come into contention for that job. So Arsenal still without a permanent manager, who will go in there as their new manager. Looking at some of the other stories in the Premier League, Manchester City boss Pep Guardiola had said that they weren't going to sign a defender in January. However, rumours are starting to emerge last night that they are looking to sign Bournemouth centre-back Nathan Ake. However, there are two finer details that perhaps need to be talked about a little bit more than that. He did pick up an injury on the weekend against Liverpool. It looked like a hamstring injury, and Eddie Howe wasn't too optimistic that it would be that it wouldn't be serious, so he could be facing a long time out. And obviously City have already got Aymeric Laporte out injured at the moment, and also the fact that Chelsea are believed to have a £40 million buyback clause in his contract. Obviously he left Chelsea to go to Bournemouth for around £20 million a couple of years ago, and it's believed that he does have that buyback clause in his contract. So that's going to be interesting to see whether Chelsea go through with that now that their transfer ban has been lifted in January. For Bournemouth again, we'll talk about that injury to Nathan Ake. One other player that's been a big blow and a big miss for them this season has been the Welsh midfielder / forward David Brooks, who's been out all season. Well, bad news for Bournemouth fans. He's undergone a second ankle operation. There were suggestions he should have been back in November, but that date kept being put back and back and back. Well, he's had a second ankle operation and will be out for another 3 months. So Bournemouth are under pressure at the moment. They're in a horrible run, rushing towards the relegation zone, and they're not being helped by a few injuries. David Brooks out for a long while. They've got Callum Wilson and Nathan Aké, who both went off injured, probably their two best players going off injured at the weekend. So not good news for Bournemouth. And also the news that broke yesterday evening, Newcastle are offering free half-season tickets to those who are already season ticket holders. I'm not sure whether the Newcastle fans will suddenly turn their opinions and suddenly start loving Mike Ashley. I don't think there are. There's many relationships where there could be more hatred between the Newcastle fans and Mike Ashley. Looking ahead then to the Champions League action that's coming up over the next couple of nights. Two English sides who are in action tomorrow night have secured qualification. Tottenham, I don't know how they've managed to secure qualification considering they got battered 7-2 by Bayern Munich, but they have done. And Manchester City, they are also through. Tonight, the other two English clubs are looking to seal their places in the last 16. Obviously, the draw for that will take place on Monday. In Group E, Liverpool are out in Austria. Obviously, Liverpool 8 points clear at the top of the Premier League. They are top of Group E, knowing that a point will be enough to secure qualification. 3 points will secure top spot. It's a bit frustrating that we didn't manage to secure top spot with a win against Napoli. If we'd won at Anfield a couple of weeks ago, we'd have secured top spot with one game to go. Instead, Liverpool still have their fate in their own hands, still know that a win will top the group. Salzburg are in third on 7 points. I mentioned Napoli and Carlo Ancelotti. They are second on 9 points. They're at home to Genk. They did draw 0-0 away at Genk earlier in the group stage, which was Genk's only point of the group. But you imagine Napoli will probably beat Genk at home. So Liverpool, if they want to top the group, they will need to win tonight. But a point will be enough for qualification. The other English side, Chelsea in Group H, they're at home to Lille, knowing 3 points will guarantee qualification no matter what happens in the other game. In theory, a point, though, could be enough for Chelsea if Ajax beat Valencia. Chelsea host Lille. Valencia are away at Ajax. Ajax currently top Group H on 10 points. Valencia and Chelsea both on 8 points. Lille fourth just with the 1 point. It shows how important that point for Chelsea in Spain a couple of weeks ago was. If they had lost that game, which based on the balance of play, they really should have lost that game. It could have meant that Valencia and Ajax could have come to some sort of agreement to draw the game to make sure both sides qualified. Instead, Chelsea know that a win, no matter what happens in Amsterdam tonight, will secure top spot. In Group F, Barcelona are in a good position. They're on 11 points, guaranteed top spot. Lionel Messi not in their squad. They're resting him tonight. They're away at Inter Milan, who are second on 7 points. Borussia Dortmund are also on 7 points. They're at home to Slavia Prague. I wonder what Dortmund will feel, depending on what sort of a Barcelona team. Because if you remember last season, Barcelona in that final game against Tottenham, which helped Tottenham qualify, Barcelona played a second-string side. So you wonder whether, for the integrity of the competition, whether Dortmund would have something to say if Barcelona play a second-string side and lose in Milan. In Group G, RB Leipzig are top. They travel to third place Lyon tonight, and Benfica are at home against Zenit. Leipzig are top on 10 points. Zenit and Lyon on 7 points, and Benfica in fourth on 4 points. Liverpool's game against Salzburg is an early kickoff. It's at 5 to 6. Obviously, all the group games kick off at the same time. So both games in Group E will kick off at 5 to 6 our time. The rest will kick off at 8 o'clock. We'll have more on that later in the hour. If you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. So make sure you get in contact with us this afternoon. Later, we'll be talking more about last night's game from the West Ham perspective. How much longer can Manuel Pellegrini hold on at West Ham? We'll be talking more about Chelsea's game at home tonight at Stamford Bridge against Lille, knowing a win will secure qualification for the last 16. But up next, we'll be talking about Liverpool's game in Salzburg. Love Sports. Welcome back to the Premier League Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 2 o'clock this afternoon. Obviously, we're looking ahead to the Champions League action coming tonight. Chelsea, which we'll be talking about in just a little bit of time, they are at home against Lille, knowing that a win will secure their place in the Champions League last 16. The other English side looking to secure qualification are Liverpool in Group E. They are top on 10 points, knowing a point will secure qualification. 3 points will secure top spots. To talk about Liverpool's game in Salzburg tonight, I'm delighted to say we're joined by Richard Buxton, Merseyside football journalist. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Richard. So as I said, a point is needed for qualification. Top spot will need 3 points, and that will be guaranteed. I'm assuming Jurgen Klopp will be going for nothing except a win.
Absolutely, yeah. I think Jurgen Klopp has been quite combative in his pre-match demeanour. He was quite prickly with journalists last night, and I think you can see how much it means to him, and he won't be happy just to, you know, scrape through with the bare minimum. I think in every aspect of competition, and we saw it with the League Cup a few weeks ago, even with a weakened side, Liverpool go out with a sole intention of winning.
It must have been frustrating, Richard. I know as a Liverpool fan myself that it was frustrating in that game against Napoli, knowing that a win in that game would have secured top spot, irrelevant. So it could have meant Jürgen could have rested players tonight, and he could have known that, obviously still wanting to win the game, but in theory the result wouldn't affect their qualification. Do you think he'll be slightly bugged by that and slightly frustrated that Liverpool couldn't get the job done and get top spot sealed a couple of weeks ago?
I think he's more frustrated about what actually happened to Fabinho in that game. Obviously the lengthy layoff that's ensued since that injury against Napoli's it's forced Liverpool to obviously reshuffle the midfield pack, and you can't underestimate how much of an influence Fabinho has been on Liverpool this season. He has been immense and a really calming presence. But yeah, I think Jürgen Klopp will be frustrated that he couldn't rest players up a week ahead of time, especially with the run of games we've got now with the Club World Cup in Qatar and quite a tough run of games, including what's looking like it's going to be a 1-2 clash on Boxing Day against Leicester. So it's probably not the ideal circumstances, but I don't think that's going to affect Jürgen Klopp's mindset in terms of what he wants out of this game, which will always be a win.
Obviously, on the weekend, it was a very easy afternoon on the South Coast for Liverpool. 3-0 win away at Bournemouth. Do you think that was quite good preparation? Not necessarily in terms of the opposition, because Bournemouth obviously are in pretty terrible form, so it wasn't necessarily the biggest test, but in terms of it wasn't a particularly taxing afternoon. It was a pretty easy 90 minutes that wouldn't have taken too much out of the legs. There was a clean sheet for the first time for Liverpool in the Premier League since the end of September. Also, individual performances in the form of Naby Keita was outstanding on the weekend, that the Jürgen Klopp would have been pretty happy with Saturday's game building into tonight's game.
Absolutely, yeah, and I think the fact that Keita, as you say, had a good performance will be massive, because there's been reservations about him since he came in. He was touted as being this midfielder with bite and who'd, you know, be a successor to a lot of long departed players. I mean, Xabi Alonso and Javier Mascherano were the ones that he was compared to, and even Steven Gerrard, which was quite lofty a comparison to make. So Keita coming out of that game with quite a bit of kudos helped massively, and as you say, the result was fairly formality. Like, Liverpool didn't really overexert themselves, and you know, you look at the first goal, the long ball through from Jordan Henderson. I mean, that shows the sort of diversity Liverpool have now with scoring goals, and I think it's a trait that they've been starting to show a lot more recently.
In terms then of team selection going into tonight's game, Richard, I think most of the team picks itself, but there'll be a couple of big decisions at centre back. Does Dejan Lovren come back in after going off injured on the weekend, or does Joe Gomez start? And also, really, the only other decision is the makeup of the midfield three. We'd assume Henderson will be in there. We'd assume Wijnaldum will be in there. The other midfield spot is up for grabs. Naby Keita played brilliantly on the weekend. Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain's in good form. James Milner is usually preferred in these types of away games in the Champions League, but he's played or started the last couple of games. In terms of those couple of key decisions, what do you think he'll go with at centre-back, and who will be the third man in that midfield?
I think the centre-back decision is going to be determined largely on Dejan Lovren's fitness. He came through the training session yesterday, as far as I'm aware, with no problems. He seemed to be in good shape when the media saw him for the first 15 minutes. So if Lovren is fit and available, then you'd back him to start, because Joe Gomez, although he is a good player, he can be a bit shaky defensively. And I think Liverpool have been caught out a few times in the past when he's been playing at centre-back and even at right-back. So that one's a fairly straightforward one. In midfield, it's a bit tougher. It depends what sort of shape Jürgen Klopp wants to play and what sort of intention he wants to go into the game with. If he wants to play safe and be cagey, you'd pick Naby Keita, who can break things up. But alternatively, if you want to go for a bit of a more of an attacking approach, you'd put Oxlade-Chamberlain in there and have either Henderson or Wijnaldum dropping into the number six role. They're both capable of doing it. They've shown in Fabinho's absence that he can do it. So it's ultimately up to Jürgen Klopp whether he wants to go for an all-out attacking approach, or if he wants to play it safe, as I say, with Keita in the holding position.
looking at Liverpool's opposition tonight, Salzburg, it was an entertaining game, to say the least, at Anfield, where Liverpool won 4-3. Liverpool were 3-0 up inside 35 minutes. Salzburg then had a three-goal spree in very quick succession to make it 3-3 before Salah scored the winner. So on that night, everyone's talking, obviously, about Erling Haaland, and he's been linked with pretty much everyone in Europe. But they showed on that night that they've got some grit and determination, and they've got some good players in there.
Massively so, and I think that's the danger for Liverpool, is if they do go for the usual blitzkrieg attacking style, you know, swashbuckling football, it could come off the hold them as it nearly did at Anfield. And as you say, Erling Haaland is a big talking point, but, you know, they've got a lot of players who can cause damage, and Jesse Marsh, I think, is a massive, massive influence on that. We obviously saw the video of him in the dressing room at half-time at Anfield, switching between German and English as he was expressing his frustrations, and clearly his words, even if they are muddled and across two different languages, they clearly transmit to the players, and that's something that Liverpool are going to have to be wary of, especially going to Salzburg and going to their home ground. They're not going to be a pushover, and again, Liverpool are going to have to, for a third season, do it the hard way if they're going to qualify for the next round.
Obviously, Salzburg need to win the game. Liverpool only need a point to qualify, although, obviously, we would like to qualify as the group winners. Do you think the fact that Salzburg have to come out and win this game, that will suit Liverpool tonight? That Liverpool aren't the side that have to come out and win, although 12 months ago, Liverpool had to beat Napoli at home, and they did so. Do you think the fact that Salzburg kind of have to throw the kitchen sink at it, they have to go all out for the win because a point isn't good enough, that might actually suit Jurgen Klopp's side absolutely down to the ground?
I think Salzburg throw the kitchen sink at every opposition they've faced in the Champions League this season. I don't think it's just dependent on this game. I think you look at the scorelines from the previous group games, and especially the one at Anfield, you know, seven goals, even though they were on the losing side, they gave it a good go, and they don't have any real let-up. They don't have take-half measures. They seem to be quite drilled, and I think that feeds into the intensity Jesse Marsh has fostered there in the short time he's been manager. So I think it doesn't suit Liverpool necessarily. I think it can help them with counter-attacks, because if they're not as drilled defensively as Liverpool are, and we know they are, then Liverpool can cause them some problems. But at the same time, Liverpool aren't going to have an easy night. They are probably going to be overwhelmed at times when they get the ball to Haaland, and they do cause problems, as we've seen. And I think Liverpool, if they are looking at this, and I don't think they would be, with any sort of lesser view that they can coast through this, and I think they'd be totally mistaken.
And just finally then, Richard, a quick fire prediction. Do you think Liverpool will manage to get 3 points tonight to not only guarantee qualification but seal top spot as well?
I think there's going to be goals in it, definitely. I mean, probably if narrow scoreline again, like we saw at Anfield, probably a 3-2 or even a 4-3. You can see there being a lot of goals in this game. I mean, even a 2-0 draw would suit Liverpool, but I think there will be plenty of goals, and you know, it's going to be difficult at both ends of the pitch tonight.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Richard. That was Richard Buxton, Merseyside football journalist, talking about that game tonight over in Austria against Salzburg. Salzburg have got nothing to lose, really. Obviously, they know that a point's not good enough. They have to win tonight to get into the knockout stages. And considering kind of where Salzburg have come from, considering they're not a massive club, I think even Europa League would be a solid achievement for Salzburg this season. Obviously, everyone's talking about Erling Haaland and being linked with everyone pretty much in Europe, but they proved on that night at Anfield early in the group stages that they've got a number of good players there that I'm sure come next summer, in addition to Erling Haaland, who might even move in January if the release clause of £17-18 million is to be believed. I think there'll be plenty of players that could be on the move to bigger clubs next summer. But in terms of team selection there, it's only probably a couple of decisions to make. As Richard said, at centre-back, John Matip, another blow is that he will be out for even longer than maybe expected. He's going to be out until the new year. It would have been hoped that he'd be back by now, but he is going to be out until the new year. Dejan Lovren went off injured at the weekend, but has travelled with the squad, trained yesterday. I think if he's fit, he does play. If not, Joe Gomez will play then. He played really well, granted, not against the biggest challenge on the weekend against Bournemouth. And the other decision is the third midfielder, because obviously the front three picks itself. Alisson picks himself in goal. Van Dijk, Robertson, Alexander-Arnold pick themselves in the back four. And with Fabinho out, Henderson and Wijnaldum, I think it would have been a Fabinho, Henderson, Wijnaldum midfield three tonight, but obviously Fabinho is out until the new year, having got injured against Napoli a few weeks ago. So it's the decision of who the third man is. Now, James Milner seems to be the favourites to be in that role. I just doubt whether, having started against Everton and started against Bournemouth, as to whether he would start again tonight. He is in his 30s and he is a very durable player, but whether he'd start three games in the space of 6 days, I sincerely doubt that, even though away games, I was critical actually of Jurgen Klopp selecting him at home against Napoli, away from home in the Champions League. I think it makes a lot more sense starting James Milner. Naby Keita was outstanding at the weekend, got a goal and assist. He's had a very stop-start to his Liverpool career, and it's been quite frustrating. He's shown glimpses of the quality he showed at Leipzig. He's then had injuries. He's then had dips in form. He's just had so many niggles and so many little injuries that have just kind of been a sense of one step forward, one step back for Naby Keita. But he showed on the weekend, this is a top-quality player that has the ability to be the perfect Jurgen Klopp-type midfielder, and hopefully he gets a run of games. Now, whether he starts tonight, I'm not sure. Obviously, both Keita and Mane have played for Salzburg earlier in their careers, so it'll be kind of a big moment for them. But I think with the way that Keita played on the weekend, I quite like to see him start tonight. But also, the Ox has been playing really, really well over the last couple of months, so he could earn a start. So good selection dilemmas for Jurgen Klopp to have. As I said, in Group E, Liverpool know that a point will secure qualification for the last 16, but obviously we're after 3 points tonight to secure top spot. Liverpool away in Salzburg, Napoli are at home to Genk, and I brought you the news earlier that if Napoli don't have a good time tonight, and if they get knocked out, and if the result isn't good tonight, then it could see Ancelotti sacked and Gennaro Gattuso go in there. Obviously, so much more to come later in the hour. We're going to be talking about Chelsea's game against Lille. We'll also be talking about West Ham's defeated Arsenal and what that means for Manuel Pellegrini. But we've also got some big news here at Love Sport. From Monday, you'll be able to get Love Sport across the UK on national digital radio, which is fantastic news for us and fantastic news for you, the listeners out there. You'll be able to listen to us wherever you are in the country. As I said, here on the Premier League Fan Show and the Championship Fan Show between 1 and 3 o'clock on a weekday afternoon. Obviously, we look to cover as many clubs as possible, looking to go into further depth about all 44 of the Premier League and Championship clubs. And so going national is only going to help us expand our reach and get to more people in the country. So it's great news for us, great news for you. So we're going national on Monday, so you'll be able to listen to us on digital radio no matter where you are across the UK. If you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. We'll be back after this.
This is Love Sport.
Welcome back to the Premier League Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 2 o'clock this afternoon. If you want to get in touch, make sure you do. Call us on 0208 7020 558 or WhatsApp us on that very same number. We'd like to hear from you this afternoon on your Premier League club or in the next hour on the Championship Fan Show between 2 and 3 o'clock. Obviously, it'd be great to hear from you, share your views on your club. We've been talking about Liverpool's game over in Austria against Salzburg, looking to seal qualification for the Champions League last 16. Liverpool know that a point will secure qualification, 3 points will secure top spot. The other English club in action tonight are also looking to secure their place in Monday's Champions League last 16 draw, and that is Chelsea. They're at home against Lille tonight. To preview that game, I'm delighted to say we're joined by Oliver Harbord, Chelsea correspondent for football.london. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Oliver. So, Chelsea stand a win away from qualification. Obviously, there are a few other results that could lead to Chelsea's qualification, but they know that all 3 points will secure qualification. Do you think at the start of the group stages, considering there was Ajax in there, Valencia have proven to be quite a tough side in this group, that Frank Lampard would have taken a situation where they knew that if they won their final game against, let's be honest, a fairly weak Lille side at home, he'd have taken that to qualify for the last 16?
Yeah, I think we all predicted, and Lampard predicted himself, that this was going to be a group where teams took points off each other. There was no real runaway winner of the group. Ajax, you know, very strong, obviously, but they did lose a couple of games. I think the disappointing one, obviously, was that first game against Valencia at home, to lose that 1-0 against the Valencia side, who were really struggling and had just sacked their manager as well. They were in some turmoil, so he would have expected to at least got a point out of that. But look, we're in a situation now where Chelsea have it in their own hands. That's what he would have liked to have happened at this stage. And it's just going into Stamford Bridge tonight and trying to get a win, which hasn't been that easy this season. But, you know, you have to say that Chelsea would be the favourites to go through.
Yeah, I mean, you would expect against the weakest team in the group, and Chelsea won over in France, that would be the case. But obviously there is a pressure that comes with that. Frank Lampard, although as a player, was used to obviously pressure Champions League games, but as a manager, he's not used to that. There are a lot of young players, and that's been the emphasis on Chelsea this season about the young guys. Reece James probably going to start at right back. Tammy Abraham up top. Mason Mount could start in midfield again. That these are young guys, and they're not used to this pressure, so it may not be as easy as maybe a Chelsea side of 5-6 years ago, where they had lots of experience and they would have been used to the pressure of these types of occasions.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is a kind of game where you actually look to the senior players, though, and the leaders in the group to really come through and sort of guide these younger players on. I mean, you look at the likes of Aspilicueta, Willian, you know, even the likes of Kovacic, Kante, Jorginho, if he plays today. These are the guys that really have to step up and sort of guide the younger players through it. You know, they're also not going through a great amount of form at the moment. You know, 3 Premier League defeats in 4 games is really not a great place to be right now, coming off the back of that Everton defeat as well. So the pressure is definitely on. I think they should be boosted by the return of Antonio Rudiger to defence, as we saw on Saturday. It looked pretty awful in recent weeks, and to have him available at least will be a huge boost. And that's another leader that can get them through what is a very pressurised game.
It's as if, Oliver, you could see the questions in front of me, because the next one was going to be about Antonio Rudiger. He's only played 45 minutes this season, and I think a lot of Chelsea fans would probably say, at the very least, he's Chelsea's best centre-back, if not their best defender. Considering the defensive frailties that have been exposed, and the weekend showed them again, as well as the last few weeks, how integral will his return be tonight? Or are you perhaps more cautious, because he's been out for a long while, he's hardly played, as I mentioned, that's not even a 90-minute game this season so far. He's not just going to come back in tonight and suddenly be on top form.
Yeah, I mean, this was one of the questions posed to Lampard yesterday in his press conference. And Lampard said, well, there should be pressure on him, really. The hype should be there because he's a very good defender. Now, going into the season, even when they had David Luiz before he was sold to Arsenal, Rudiger was the top defender in Chelsea's team. And as you say, they haven't had him all season, which has been a massive blow. The other thing about it as well is without Rudiger, they've just been very unsettled in the way that they've gone about things. You know, Lampard's gone 3 at the back. He's played Tomori and Zouma and Christensen. He's moved Reece James and Aspilicueta around, and Emerson's come in, Alonso's come in. You know, there's never been a settled back four, really. And that's something that if Rudiger can come in and really sort of establish his fitness back again, that will add that stability. I think, personally, he has to come straight back in. I know that he hasn't played, obviously, a lot this season, for just 45 minutes. But the way that the defence played on Saturday, there's no reason why he shouldn't. And if he can get through at least 70, 80 minutes today, you know, they go into the Bournemouth game on Saturday and he might be able to sort of rest a little bit again for that one. You know, it's a massive game and they need their best defender playing. And Lampard said they've got him match sharp in training. They've simulated match action in their training for him. So I think Lampard will throw him in if he's 100% fit, which he seems to be.
Talking of centre-backs, Oliver, obviously Chelsea have been linked in recent days, as well as recent months, with a move for a former defender of theirs from Bournemouth, Nathan Ake. Now, he looked like he went off injured with a hamstring injury on the weekend, but supposedly, according to some reports, Chelsea have a buyback clause of around £40 million that they inserted when they sold him to Bournemouth for about half of that a few years ago. Obviously, in a general sense, as well as a specific one with Nathan Ake, do you think that Chelsea will look to spend players now that their transfer ban has been lifted for January? Do you think that Frank Lampard, even though he's downplayed the prospect of going out and just spending willy-nilly, do you think he will be looking to make one or two signings, and could Nathan Ake be one of those?
I think he has to, really. I think that the defeat on Saturday really shows just sort of how thin the squad is a little bit. And also the fact that, you know, we're getting into the busy period now. Coming into December and January, we know how busy it is, and we're going to get a real test of where their squad is at. Defensively, they looked all over the place. Personally, I think, you know, he doesn't seem to trust Marcus Alonso much at left-back. Obviously, Emerson as well seems to have been in and out of the team. But Aspilicueta isn't a long-term left-back, and so I think that's an area he will definitely look at. As far as Ake, you know, he is an excellent defender. the buyback clause will be there to protect Chelsea and to try and get him back first dibs. And he's really excelled at Bournemouth. You have to say he's become a real leader in their team, a team that have often been exposed at times defensively. And, you know, he would be a pretty decent foil, you have to say. You know, obviously having that left foot as well does help. There's something extra to have in the centre-back partnership. And he's really come on at Bournemouth. And I think that he's one that Chelsea will definitely look at, because if they get the chance, you know, if they do want to reinforce in centre-back positions, that'll be an easier negotiation as it would be for anyone else.
I just wanted to focus on a couple of Chelsea's youngsters. Obviously, there's been a lot made of it this season. Reece James, firstly, who seems to have won that battle to be the right back. Now, you mentioned about how Azpilicueta, with the experience he has, has perhaps been, is having to fit in at left back. But do you think the form of Reece James, and quite clearly how highly they rate him, has maybe forced them into finding another position for Azpilicueta because of kind of how much they want Reece James to be starting on a regular basis at right back?
Yeah, I think with Reece James, he's only just turned 20, I believe. You know, he's a great attacking option. I think that's what Lampard really likes. He gives an extra bit of edge on that right. I think if you saw the game against Ajax, that crazy game, when he came on, you know, his delivery from crosses is just incredible, really. He's got great technique when it comes to that. There's still question marks about him defensively, of course. You know, that's something that will adapt over time. But, you know, this is a guy that Chelsea have a lot of faith in. He was excellent on loan last year at Wigan. And he's really stepped up. Of course, he's, you know, he's not the perfect defender at the moment. He's really not. The thing about Azpilicueta is he is just one of those leaders. We talked about it earlier. And Chelsea don't seem to have that many. And Azpilicueta really is. When he's pumped up for it, then you, the whole team know about it. And it is just about finding that balance. Unfortunately, you know, Azpilicueta is not the perfect left-back. But Lampard wants him in the team, and at the moment that's kind of the shape he's going for, because Reece James is certainly one for the future.
I wanted to get your views on Callum Hudson-Odoi. Obviously, he signed this new contract at Chelsea. There were a lot of rumours last season linking him with a move to Bayern Munich. They seemed to be very interested in acquiring his services as his contract was wearing down initially at the end of this season. He obviously has come back from quite a serious injury, so maybe it's not a surprise that he's not in the starting 11, but do you think there's a sense that he may be starting to regret that decision to sign that new contract, to not leave his options open? Because obviously he wants to play for Chelsea. It's the club that he's grown up playing for and supports. But actually, maybe Chelsea were protecting their asset more than actually thinking at this moment in time he is ready to play on a regular basis.
I don't think there's much doubt that the Bayern Munich interest, which is obviously very seriously there, that did force Chelsea's hand a little bit when it came to a contract deal. But I don't think, you know, Hudson-Odoi will be worried about having signed it and not playing at the moment. You know, if we look at Chelsea's situation in the wingers' positions right now, you know, you've got Pedro not playing, who's going to head out either in January or summer when his contract runs out. You've got Willian there, who Lampard obviously does trust, but his contract is running out in the summer and it's all getting a little bit tight to sign a new one. So if you look at the long-term vision, if this is the new way that Chelsea are going, which Lampard believes they are, and Lampard was one of the first to actually contact Hudson-Odoi when he joined, just to make sure that he was going to put pen to paper on a new deal. They have a lot of faith in him. I think that has been passed over. So, you know, he did have a very serious injury. He's not been at his best when he's come back and the glimpses he's shown. But he's dark side because Christian Pulisic, to be fair to him, is playing very, very well. You know, and he deserves his chance at the moment, deserves to be starting. So I think that's one of the things. It's not that Hudson-Odoi won't be getting his chance, it's the fact that the two guys in front of him are actually playing very well, and that's the way it's going to be at the moment. But you know, I don't think there's much issue with Chelsea, and they know that Hudson-Odoi in the long term is going to be a big player for them.
So as I mentioned, Chelsea know that a win will secure qualification. A draw might be enough if the result in Amsterdam goes their way, but are you confident, Oliver, that Chelsea will secure all 3 points and will guarantee qualification?
Yeah, I mean, I was confident before the West Ham game, and we all knew how that went. So I don't think there's a, you know, a reason to be overconfident. You know, Chelsea are yet to win at home in the Champions League this season. You have to say they go into the game favourites, but they're not in the greatest of form. If the defence stays solid and doesn't allow Lille to sort of have that sort of breakaway goal or sneak one ahead early on, then I think Chelsea will look pretty comfortable going into the game. But yeah, it's I wouldn't say I'm overly confident, but quietly confident maybe.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Oliver. That was Oliver Harbord, Chelsea correspondent for football.london, looking ahead to that game at Stamford Bridge. You'd imagine at home against Lille, they've only taken 1 point from the group to date, that Chelsea will win. As I mentioned, they would get through with a draw if Valencia, who are currently level on points with Chelsea, lose to Ajax in Amsterdam. So that is a way of Chelsea getting through, even if they don't win tonight. But you'd imagine at home against Lille. But pressure can do funny things, and there are a number of very young players. You look at Reece James, Tammy Abraham, Mason Mount. These are guys that this is their first experience of Champions League football, and the first experience of something like this where they know they need to get a result tonight. They're not sealed, they're not guaranteed qualification, so pressure can do funny things. Frank Lampard has urged his side to embrace the pressure, his side to rise to the challenge. We'll have to wait and see as to whether this young Chelsea side can do so, because their defensive frailties have very much been exposed in recent weeks. If you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, share your views on the Champions League action or any other Premier League related stories, call us on 0208 70 20 558. And from next week, we will be going national. So it doesn't matter where you are in the country, whether you're down south or up in the north, you can listen to us here on Love Sport on digital radio from next Monday as we go national. So obviously it's fantastic for us and fantastic for all the listeners out there. Make sure you tell your friends outside of London that from Monday, it doesn't matter, as I said, where you are, whether you're in the northwest, northeast, southwest, southeast, you can listen to us on digital radio wherever you are across the UK, which is obviously fantastic news. Up next, we'll be turning our attention to last night's game. Not good news for West Ham. Arsenal scored 3 goals in 9 minutes to secure a win for the Gunners. A massive win for Arsenal, a massive loss for West Ham. How much longer is Pellegrini going to hold on?
Love Sport.
Welcome back to the Premier League Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 2 o'clock this afternoon. We're going to talk about West Ham's 3-1 defeat at home against Arsenal last night, which ramps up the pressure on boss Manuel Pellegrini. To talk all things Hammers, I'm delighted to say we're joined by Dan Lawless from West Ham Fan TV. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Dan. I want to start with one of your tweets that you sent out. I'll read it out. Embarrassing, pathetic, spineless. There aren't enough adjectives to describe that. Pellegrini has to go now. It may not solve all our problems, but I'll take a short-term fix. Before we talk about Pellegrini, on last night's performance, was it a lack of fight that was apparent yesterday, or was it just a simple lack of quality?
Probably, I suppose, a mixture of both. You know, I mean, again, we were the better team, I thought, for the first half. Not that that's saying much, because Arsenal were awful. It was essentially just two awful teams. But we didn't go on and push on and have that killer instinct. And it's just that same, you know, Arsenal were a team that if you press them, then they fall to pieces. And we didn't do that. I just don't think Pellegrini has any idea. I think our style of play is what lets us down. You know, the passing, or constant passing all the time, and no real penetration. So it's, yeah, so many things that play here.
Obviously, the game, Dan, changed in such a short space of time. I was watching it last night at home, and as I said, 9 minutes was the difference between it being 1-0 to West Ham to suddenly being at 3-1 at Arsenal, which then obviously led to a number of West Ham fans, including producer Tom, standing up and deciding, I've had enough, and in unison, a number of people leaving. Were you just stunned by the lack of any sort of response from this West Ham side, that obviously it's bad enough having that blitz against you where you can see 3 goals in a 10-minute period, but the fact that there was no real fight, there was no determination to say, yeah, this has happened, but let's respond. Let's actually come back at them, because this Arsenal team are all over the place themselves. They're not very good. So if West Ham had got a goal, there was likely to be a complete crumbling the opposite way by Arsenal.
Oh, I really wasn't surprised at all, because we've seen it so many times. As soon as we can see the goal, that's it. You know, we just fall to pieces. And that's what happened. You know, we see the goal, and it was only inevitable that they was going to get a second and then even a third. We've seen it time and time again. Like I said, there is no fight. We've got such a weak mentality. And Pellegrini has been saying since last season, I'm going to install a winning mentality in this team. I don't know when it's coming, because it's far from a winning mentality. It really is so frustrating. I can't see where we're going to get points from.
So obviously it leaves Manuel Pellegrini down on the brink of an exit, just 1 point now above the relegation zone. You, as I said, you've called, you say that he has to go now, although it won't fix all of the problems. Do you think I suppose, what happens now? I mean, it seems like he is going to get the weekend's game away at Southampton to potentially rescue things, but is it a situation where, even though it might not fix everything, you feel that something has to change to just get some sort of bounce?
Yeah, it has to. I just think that we need someone who can really, you know, get something out of these players, get them playing in a different way, because we are struggling to score goals. Even that goal we scored, you know, came from a set piece, and it was our centre-back heading in and getting a deflection in. You know, none of our attacking players have any threat. If you take away that whole deflection, we never really looked like, well, we put pressure on them and we was on top, but there was never any moments where you feel like, oh, you know, that's going to go in. We're stretching the keeper. We're testing him out. We need someone who can get the best out of these attacking players, even if it's just the short-term manager till the end of the season. We know we've got bigger problems as we're, you know, a poorly run club for the most part. But we can't fix that right now. All we can do really right now is change the manager. And I think that's what needs to be done. And if we win against Southampton, to me, I don't think that should save his job. I think the Southampton result is irrelevant, should be irrelevant of his job, because we're just going to see the same thing. If he hasn't produced a response now, what, you know, what's he going to do after Southampton, you know? So, so frustrating, right?
As you mentioned down there, it won't necessarily fix everything, but do you think a short-term fix, someone coming in, a new manager, whether it be on a short-term basis, is that going to significantly change things? Is it going to get them out of a relegation scrap? Or is that just simply kicking the can further down the road, that at some point that isn't, at some point that's going to fail to work? That if you just keep going to short-term fixes, that if you don't resolve the bigger issue, then at some point the relegation talk is going to become more than just apparent?
No, I mean, absolutely. I think we you know, we do need a long-term plan, and we don't want to keep getting in this situation, you know, every 18 months. That's absolutely right. But I feel like the situation we're in now is, if we don't make some sort of change right now, even if it is a short-term change, that relegation could be on the card, could massively be on the card. It's looking like a real worry. The fact that we lost 3-1 to this team that got dominated by the likes of Brighton and Southampton, who were unlucky not to beat them, and Norwich and things like that. You know, it's so I think even if we just got, you know, look at you know, Arsenal's obviously got Lundberg in, Everton's got Duncan Ferguson. They've all made the changes. So make the change now, even if it's a caretaker. Let's get to the end of the season and really take time and identify a real long-term manager and sort out all the behind-the-scenes stuff, the scouting. Look at the way Leicester are run. And they didn't have to move stadium. They didn't have to, you know, have all these big promises and these big ideas. They just got on with it, and they just recruited well, and they you know, supported the manager. So, yeah, I think that's what we need to look at. I think it's just a point. Whatever happens, I just can't see Pellegrini having a future. He said that it's more important to win our home games after the Wolves lost, and look what happened. We haven't won a home game in, God knows, since Man United at home, I think.
And so just finally then, Dan, looking at the odds for the next permanent manager at West Ham, Rafa Benitez, despite the fact that he said he's not going to take a job now in England, even though he was in the Monday Night Football studio, it seems to me maybe that's influenced the decision that he's favourite for the job. Eddie Howe, David Moyes, Chris Hughton are all high up on the shortlist. I get the sense, as you said, as you've been talking about, that a short-term fix may be the thing that West Ham just need to look at over the rest of this season. Who would you be looking to bring in, both in terms of a short-term fix as well as someone long-term?
Well, I mean, short-term, if we're looking at just someone to steady the ship and put the fires out, then obviously David Moyes done that for us before. If he were, whether he'd be happy to come in and you know, take that role again, I don't know. You got, like I said, Rafa Benitez. I think he'd probably wait till the end of the season before he takes another job. I mean, he did go to China, but I don't think the reason why Pellegrini's not working out for us is because he went to China. He just doesn't suit West Ham. He plays like, you know, he's in La Liga, or he's got world-class players all over the pitch with Man City. So Rafa Benitez could probably, you know, still do a good job for us. Hughton, I'm not convinced by at all. So, and Eddie Howe, I'm not, you know, Bournemouth aren't in great form themselves. So, and it's not always automatic. If you just give a manager more money, they're just going to be better. So it's a tough one in terms of managers out there. There's that Kovac available, he's a big name. If they wanted to go and give him a load of, you know, give him a load of money and see and try and convince him. But, you know, this is their job to sit there and spend time and identify the right man to come in. You know, we can all speculate, but they should be doing it now. They've come out, the news said that they're talking about it and they're reviewing his position and they're thinking about it. They should have been thinking about it this weeks ago, so they can just pull the trigger straight away. So, yeah, who the right man is, it's a tough question, but it just isn't Pellegrini, that's for sure.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Dan. That was Dan Lawless from West Ham Fan TV, quite vocal in his opinions that even though there are bigger issues at stake, Manuel Pellegrini needs to go. They need a new manager, and who knows? It seems he's had talks with the West Ham hierarchy today, which is always a bad sign, but it does seem like he's going to get one more game away at Southampton on the weekend. Maybe not a bad thing for West Ham. They're not at home this weekend, but pressure is certainly ramping up on Manuel Pellegrini at West Ham. How much longer can he last? Just wanted to mention again how we are going national on Monday. It's obviously brilliant news for us and brilliant news for the listeners. So from Monday, you'll be able to get Love Sport across the UK on national digital radio. So no matter where you are in the country, you'll be able to listen to Love Sport on the whole journey. Whether you're coming back from a football game on a Saturday afternoon or just on your travels during your weekdays, you can tune in to Love Sport on digital radio from Monday, which is obviously fantastic news for everyone. You no longer will have the problems on your digital radio once you leave London of not being able to access us. No matter where you are, you can listen to Love Sport from Monday when we go national.
This is Love Sport.
What does VA mean to me?
A place for my daughter to call home. Thanks to the VA home loan.
A new lease on life. The best healthcare team I've ever had is here at VA.
And education and the opportunity to open doors I never thought possible with my GI Bill.
The financial support I need to manage the disabilities I developed because of my service.
Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.